It was the same voice from the same man that cried out, "Hosanna," one day. And "I do not know this man," a few days later. It was the same heart from the same man that was filled with joy and excitement at the prospect of salvation, deliverance, that was then filled with fear and confusion just days later. It was the same feet on the same man that ran after Jesus as he paraded into Jerusalem one day that ran away from Jesus just a few days later. This is Simon Peter, and this is us, flawed and faithful. And that's why we're taking this Lenten season an honest, unvarnished look at what it means to figure out faith with Simon Peter. And so far, we've seen faith as our sometimes even reluctant obedience to Jesus. We've seen faith as stepping out, even when things are hard, and also reaching out to Jesus for help and salvation. We've seen faith as a whole life declaration of allegiance. We've seen faith as recognizing the glory of God present in Jesus in both the highs and the lows. Last week we saw faith as having the humility to allow Jesus close enough to us to wash us. Today, we step with Simon Peter into his moment of greatest failure, his denial of Jesus. Let's pray. God, open our hearts and our minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 31 through 35, and then 40, 41, and then 69 through 65. Listen to the progression of this story. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Tonight you will all fall away because of me. This is because it is written, 'I will hit the shepherd, and then the sheep of the flock will go off in all directions. But after I'm raised up, I'll go before you into Galilee.'" Peter replied, "If everyone else stumbles because of you, I'll never stumble." Jesus said to him, "I assure you that before the rooster crows tonight, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "Even if I must die alongside you, I won't deny you." Although the other disciples said the same thing. He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? Stay alert and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant woman came and said to him, "You were also with Jesus, the Galilean." But he denied it in front of them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." When he went over to the gate, another woman saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus, the man from Nazareth. With a solemn pledge, he denied it again, saying, "I don't know this man." A short time later, those standing there came and said to Peter, "You must be one of them. The way you talk gives you away." Then he cursed and swore, "I don't know the man." At that very moment, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, things were really coming to a climax now. Peter and the other disciples had just joined Jesus in the Hosanna parade as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Was this going to be the moment? Was this going to be the moment of salvation, of messianic victory? The perfect storm, meanwhile, is gathering all around. Jesus turns over tables in the temple and continues to proclaim the good news of his kingdom and not the kingdom of Rome. Jesus continues to challenge the ways of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other religious leaders of the day. Jesus has his feet anointed as a preview of his death. Jesus has shared a special meal with his disciples where he's taken bread and cup and said, "This is my body, this is my blood given for you." Judas is unmasked as Jesus' betrayer. I can only imagine the gravity and the weight and the intensity and the tension in the room. What's going to happen next? What's Jesus going to do next? What's Jesus going to say next? And then Jesus tells his disciples that they all are going to fail. He says all of them will fall away or stumble and trip because of what's getting ready to happen. You're all going to fail. That's not very leader-like, is it? I mean, telling the people that you lead, hey, guess what? You're getting ready to mess up big time right now, right in the moment of truth, right in this big moment. You're going to fail. Once again, Peter speaks up as he always does. We can imagine he's hurt or he's confused by what Jesus says. He replies, "Even if everyone else stumbles, Jesus, I'll never stumble." He sounds so sure. I believe Peter meant what he said. Do you? So faithful, so steadfast, like a rock. "Actually," Jesus says, "I promise you that before the rooster crows tonight, you'll deny me three times." Wow. It must have been devastating for Peter. Devastating to hear if you're him. I mean, someone who has journeyed with Jesus, who has tried to pull closer and journey closer to him and be faithful. And now Jesus is saying, you'll push him away. I'm reminded of a chorus in a song by a band called Jars of Clay, and it goes like this. "I use one hand to pull you closer, the other to push you away. If I had two hands doing the same thing, lifted high, lifted high. I use one hand to pull you closer, the other to push you away." That's Simon Peter in what unfolds exactly according to Jesus's prediction. Later that night, Jesus takes Simon Peter and James and John, the same three that he had taken up on the mountain to be with him in that moment of beholding his glory. And now he takes those same three to be with him, to behold him in his moment of agony. "I'm sad," Jesus says. "It feels like I'm dying. Can you stay with me? Can you be with me and stay awake with me in this moment?" And Peter and the others fall asleep three times. "I use one hand to pull you closer, the other to push you away." Then Jesus is arrested and he's taken to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter is at least courageous enough to pull close enough to Jesus in that moment and standing at the edge of everything in the courtyard. And he's in the courtyard, and yet three separate times when he is asked if he knew Jesus or if he was associated with Jesus, he denies it vehemently. "I do not know this man. I do not know him. I do not know Jesus." And then the rooster crows. And Peter goes out and he weeps uncontrollably. He knows what he's done. He's pushed Jesus away. "I use one hand to pull you closer, the other to push you away." That's not just Peter, friends. That's us too. Just like Peter, our life of faith is marked by times when we stumble and fall, times when we deny Jesus too, when we fail in moments of truth, when we're overcome with fear or selfish desire more than love and commitment to Jesus. When we say, "I'm with you, Jesus, I love you, I'll serve you, I'll do the right thing," until we don't. We like to think that we would never deny, we would never fall away, but we do. I think about the horrific advance of Hitler in Nazi Germany in the late 1930s, when it was pretty clear at this point what he was doing to the Jewish people. And there were so many Christians who said, "No, I will not betray Jesus," and who rescued or hid Jews in their villages or in their homes at great personal risk. And there were even more Christians who denied Jesus, who caved to Hitler, joining his calls, or if they didn't join his calls, caved to fear and did nothing. "No, Jesus, even if others stumble, I will never stumble." I like to think that I would have stood among those who remain steadfast, but would I? Well, I think about the lynching of George Taylor right outside of Rollsville in 1918, Wake County's only recorded lynching, when a mob of 300 people gathered to watch racial terror take place. Were there any people trying to stop it? I wonder how many Christians were there. What would I have done? What would you have done? I like to think I would have said, "No, Jesus, I will never stumble. I won't deny you," but why? It may not look like standing in the courtyard beneath the shadows of imperial and religious power and authority, saying, "I'm not a follower of Jesus, I don't know this man." It may not be Hitler or a lynch mob, but it may be something similar. It may look like the small, subtle ways that we deny, that we betray Jesus every day. We all stumble and fall. We all deny Jesus with our thoughts. We think things about ourselves and about others that fall short. We deny Jesus with our words, speaking in harmful or ignorant ways, or failing to speak up when we should have. We deny Jesus with our deeds, by things we have done and things that we didn't do that we maybe should have done. We've mistreated others. We've denied realities. We've participated in systems of oppression. We've judged others. We've gossiped or torn down. We've given in to lust or materialism or workaholism. We've been passive when the moment called for our bold witness. We've said, "I'll never deny you, Jesus," and then we succumb to political fear-mongering and vote for the person who hates the same people we do. We'll say, "I'll follow you, Jesus," and then wander the other way the moment that following Jesus gets the slightest bit inconvenient for us. I use one hand to pull you closer and the other to push you away. If I had two hands doing the same thing, lifted high. And do we weep like Peter? His greatest failure is recorded and preserved forever in the Gospels. But the good news is that Peter's failure, our failure, is not what is final. Peter's denial, our daily denial of Jesus, does not have to define us. Instead, our unfaithfulness and our stumbling reveal a God of second chances. Peter may have fallen to pieces, but he was not abandoned. His faithlessness will not have the final word. Jesus' faithfulness will. And the amazing part is that Jesus promises this ahead of the stumbling. It's like second chance in advance. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples. "Tonight you will all fall away, but after I'm raised up, I'll go before you into Galilee." Tonight you'll all fail, but I'm going before you into Galilee. In other words, even though you are going to fall to pieces and desert me, I'm going ahead of you and I'm going to be waiting for you on the other side of your betrayal with open arms, ready to get back to work with you. That's amazing. This is the prodigal love of the father in the famous parable that Jesus told, the father who went out ready to meet his son who had betrayed him with open arms. Jesus knows that we're going to deny him over and over and over again. And still he promises to go ahead of us, wait for us with forgiveness and a second chance. The love will continue even when we stumble and fall. Jesus is waiting for us to catch back up to him, to follow him again, because friendship with Jesus Christ does not stop with betrayal. Jesus' cross and resurrection make sure of that. Jesus went to the cross, came out of the other side, and is waiting for us to keep on following him and doing his work in the world. We don't have to be defined by our worst moments. We don't have to be defined by our failures. We are not redeemed by good intentions. We are redeemed by Jesus. And his forgiveness and his grace are shockingly persistent and personal. This is too good for us to come up with on our own. So think about a time when you denied Jesus. Think about a time when you really missed the mark. When you used one hand to pull him closer, the other to push him away. When you were left with your heart in pieces, maybe your eyes wet with tears. You know, in that moment, Jesus wasn't making another failing mark on your report card. Jesus wasn't slamming his fists against the walls of heaven in anger. Jesus wasn't ripping up your photo and taking it off the refrigerator. Jesus was not unfriending you. No, Jesus was already going ahead of you, ready to meet you with grace, ready to keep going because he's never finished with us. He's ready to entrust you with the next task that he has in store because his grace is just that amazing. Because if Peter could be a leader in the church after this, what might God do with us, even in our denials and in our failures? I recently heard another pastor tell this pretty amazing story about a youth retreat, and apparently the students had been at a large gathering where they heard a speaker share about God's forgiveness. And they were back at the hotel kind of doing a debrief and listening to this youth pastor ask some questions. And the youth pastor reached a point where it kind of became clear, you know, like that the students had checked out, probably not going to have any more productive conversations. So she shut her notebook and was like, all right, God, if anything else is going to happen tonight, you're going to have to do something. There was a few moments of quiet, and then all of a sudden, one youth girl spoke up to another. Hey, I have a secret that I've been keeping from you for 3 years, and it's eating me alive, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. They went to another place, and she shared, and the other girl forgave her. Soon after they returned to the group, another youth raised his hand. I've got something that I've been hiding from people, and I need to confess. And then one by one, more youth started to raise their hand and confess their own sins publicly. And it was like this mini revival taking place. Confession and forgiveness begetting confession and forgiveness. Jesus showing up. Seeing Peter stumbling publicly preserved in the Bible is also seeing Jesus' grace and forgiveness at work. Perhaps when we're met by Jesus' grace and know that we are not defined by our worst moments, our failures, our betrayal, our denial, we can be a part of healing and hope for others who have failed. To be able to say, you know, the same Jesus that I failed and yet who went ahead of me to wait for me and forgive me and welcome me in grace, he's doing that for you too. He's waiting for you too. Fall into his arms. Begin again. Even if everyone else stumbles, falls away, Jesus, I will never stumble. Until we do. Peter, all of us, With the same voice from the same person, we say, Jesus is Lord, and then turn around and tear someone else down. I don't know this man. With the same heart from the same person, we feel God's love for us, and then we turn around and worship idols. I don't know this man. With the same feet on the same person, we stand in the place of worship one day and then fail to stand with Jesus with the least, the last, and the lost. I don't know this man. Denying Jesus is such a sad thing. And yet we all do it. I use one hand to pull you closer, the other to push you away. If I had two hands doing the same thing, lifted high, lifted high. Friends, know this truth deep in your bones. Jesus has two hands doing the same thing. They're waiting for us, open on the other side of our betrayal, ready to embrace us with grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.